Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
Well, we're here, summer at C3, we're heading to Christmas and we're unpacking a theme at the moment, God with us. And I think this is a significant theme, having God with us and not losing sight of what that means. And as I'm getting ready for this, I was just thinking about how being with certain people sometimes can have a huge impact on the conduct or the atmosphere of what you're experiencing. And it seems to me that it always seems to happen most noticeably to me when I meet a famous person. I've met 3 famous people in my life, if you exclude Pastor Claude. How many Facebook friends do you have now, Pastor? We should get that out there. 3 famous people, and each time it's had an interesting influence on the environment around me. First famous person I ever met was Rhiannon and I were in Sydney. We were newly married. We were staying at the Sheraton in Sydney. That was near the park in the centre of town. And we had no business being there, coming from Kempsey and usually walking around town barefoot. But I put on shoes and we were there at the Sheraton and we're going down an elevator, this amazing contraption that, again, they don't have in Kempsey. And as we're coming down, there's one or two now. And we're coming down the elevator at the Sheraton and we stop off in a room, as you do, and somebody else had opened the door, and in walks the lead singer, lead guitarist of a band I grew up loving called Silverchair. Yes. Daniel Johns, in the person, comes in. Now, if you don't know Silverchair, that's okay. You're missing out on a lot. They were a very significant band because here I was at 14 years old listening to 14-year-olds that were rocking it all throughout the world. And if they could do it, I knew that I can't. And so I met Daniel Johns in an elevator in the Sheraton with Rhiannon. And here's what happens as he walks in. It got really awkward because I didn't know what to say. I sort of took a deep breath. And it just stuck there. And then the elevator ride was much too short because I was formulating in my head what I wanted to say to him. At the very least, I wanted him to sign my arm or something. The door opens and he goes. And there goes Daniel Johns. Never to be seen by me again. Sometimes the person you're with has a significant impact on you. Yeah. Another famous person that I met was, I'm a big South Sydney Rabbitohs fan, coming from New South Wales originally, so I got into rugby league growing up, and the Rabbitohs were saved by an amazing actor. I didn't used to think he was amazing, but I do now because he saved the Rabbitohs, named Russell Crowe. And I remember being at a pre-season game for the South Sydney Rabbitohs at a place called Coffs Harbour. And we're standing in the front rows and there's Russell Crowe watching his boys, cheering them on. I mean, I noticed how short he was initially, but he's cheering them on. And then he turned around and he looked at us, small group of us that were cheering the Rabbitohs, wearing the colours. It was drizzling. We had these weird raincoats that were coloured after the Rabbitohs. I mean, the things they make you buy at stadiums. And he turns around and he looks at us and he walks up to us and we all hush. We're quiet because here's Gladiator himself. Gladiator. How can you not love Gladiator? Comes up to us and stands in front of us and he asks us, he says, "Does any of you have a cigarette lighter?" I was too gobsmacked to speak. I didn't even say, "No, I don't smoke." He didn't get an answer from us, so we went down to the other group. I mean, sometimes the person you're with has a significant influence on your response. The third famous person I met, my first time in Cambodia with Rhiannon, we're coming back, we're very young, younger than we are today. Had an amazing time. We'd spent 2 weeks in Cambodia on a short-term missions trip with a team from our local church. And here we are about to get on the plane to return to Singapore and then come back to Australia. And as we're lining up on the plane, I notice that there's somebody standing in front of us that's much taller than me and much broader in chest and has bigger biceps than my entire body. And I happen, about a few people away from me to Rhiannon away, happen to elbow Rhiannon and say about as loudly as this, Rhiannon, that's Hugh Jackman. And Hugh Jackman, who's standing right around here, turns around and looks at me dead in the eye and he says, yes, I am. And then proceeds to ignore me. Now, it wasn't just me who was influenced by this, it was the whole entire team. See, we got on the plane and it was a small flight from Phnom Penh, Cambodia to Singapore, and we noticed that some of us could get close to Hugh Jackman. I mean, he's Wolverine, for crying out loud. Your only chance. The leader of this missions team, Phil Maney, who was the pastor who taught me about Jesus initially, came up to my seat halfway through the flight, leant over, looked me dead in the eyes. I've never seen this look on his eyes before or since. And he said to me, "I just touched his hair." Who says that? Who does that? All right, put up your hands if you would touch Hugh Jackman's hair. Oh my gosh. We have some prayer to do in this house tonight. Gosh. Didn't stop there. There was another team member, Katie. Katie was our quietest team member. Katie's amazing. She now serves God, serving persecuted people groups throughout the world. She just spent some time in Iran. But she was very quiet at the time, quiet as a mouse. She offered Hugh Jackman one of her biscuits. It didn't stop there. When we got off the plane in Singapore, we actually stalked him. Because again, he's Wolverine. And I ran up to him before he was able to get into an executive room and said, "We won't stop following you until you give us a photo." To which he agreed. And you know what? Standing next to Wolverine, I don't think I'd showered for a day. On the mission field, standing next to him, realizing that I'm 3 inches shorter, I stood sideways like this, so it wasn't as noticeable. It was different. And the amount of attention we got as a group was so amazing that it caused Hugh Jackman, as soon as the picture was taken, to quickly walk into the executive room. Because again, sometimes the people you're with can change the reaction, the conduct, or even the atmosphere that you find yourself in. We're talking about God with us as we head into Christmas. Three famous people who I'll never see again caused me to react in such a way that was so abnormal that it seared in my memory. How much more important is it that we could actually have a living relationship with God? The God of gods, the creator of all things. And allow that relationship to impact our conduct, the atmosphere, and even the environments that we find ourselves in. What does it mean to have God with us? The nation of Israel had been waiting hundreds and hundreds of years for the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given to a man named Isaiah. And Isaiah had prophesied to them during one of their darkest times in history. And he had said to them that here's a promise that's coming, a sign from heaven. A sign from heaven is going to invade earth. And this sign is going to turn the whole nation around. And the people held on to the promise of this sign all for hundreds of years, expecting and hoping that God was going to invade their situations. And we see the sign fulfilled in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. If I can read it out with you. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 to 23 says this: "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly." What a beginning. "But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel.'" Can you say Emmanuel? Emmanuel, which is translated, "God is with us." For hundreds of years, they'd been waiting for a sign that God would come and be with them. Not as a chance encounter in an elevator. Not at the rugby league pitch. Not in the airport. But this idea, God to be with his people. gave with it the sense that God would come and make his home in his people. That it wouldn't be a fly-by-night meeting, it would be a lifelong commitment of growth and understanding. God with us. But what does it mean to have God with us? What does it mean today to have God with us? I think it's so easy to forget as we head into Christmas and we get caught up with everything else that we get caught up with, what it means to have a living relationship with God himself and what it means to actually experience him with us in our day-to-day lives. I mean, the list is endless. I could spend all night going through things, but I just wanted to highlight three thoughts with you tonight, what it means to have God with us. First thought I wanted to say is, with God with us, it is possible to experience hope. With God with us, it is possible to experience hope. It says this in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living. Now that word living means a now, a present, a breath on it, an alive, what? Hope. Hope. A living hope. It's not just words. It's not just a chance by night meeting. It's a living, vibrant, breathing hope. It's something that resides in you and it's for you. This hope is living through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. What is hope? As far as the Bible determines hope, hope means this. It means to anticipate an outcome with confidence and enthusiastic expectation. Let me say that again. What is hope? It means to anticipate an outcome with confidence and enthusiastic expectation. And this hope should be living. Because here's what it implies when it says that we should have a living hope, that it's possible for it to die. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I read things like you should have a living hope. And I understand that, no, it's possible then for my hope not to be living. Sometimes the challenges in Scripture are challenges for us to maintain something that belongs to us that is so easy to lose sight of. Because when you lose sight of a confident expectation, when you lose sight of an enthusiastic anticipation, here's what it gives way to. Anticipation gives way to apathy. Confidence gives way to fear, and expectation gives way to dread. So what should be a living hope becomes just a distant memory. I met a gentleman the other day. My little boy Liam was playing at his house and with his son, and they're in the same class together. And it was one of those situations where I really didn't want to hang around because I had so much important work to do, and just happened to strike up a conversation with this man, this dad of Liam's classmate. And I get asked often, you know, what do I do? It's always that first question we all ask ourselves to know. And I have been guilty from time to time to say that I'm a facility manager, depending how much I want to talk. But at this time, I just looked this guy in the eyes. I've never met him before. I don't know his background. I don't understand, but I just felt a pressing in my heart just to tell him what I do. What do you do? I'm a pastor. And the moment I said that, a sense of relief came on his face. I've never met this guy before. And he proceeded to tell me that he'd been a missionary for years with his wife on the missions field, and they had experienced the power of God and the vital relationship of having God with us and the hope that that brings. And then they had suffered. They'd lost everything. They'd been taken advantage of by people that they had trusted and given their lives to. And these people had taken all their possessions, all their resources, everything that they had. And when this family decided to kick back against that, they were excommunicated and sent out. And for 4 years, they've been living here in Rockingham trying to rebuild their lives. And so he asked me, I know God's real, but is he any good? What would you say to that? I realized immediately I was talking to somebody whose hope had died. Whose hope had died. I believe scripture answers the power of hope to allow us to get through the toughest of times. It says in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 2 to 5, we've also obtained access through him, Jesus, by faith into this grace by which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope. Can you say hope? Of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions. How can you rejoice in your afflictions? Because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character. And proven character produces what? Hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What is hope? Confident expectation that God will turn even the worst of circumstances around. How do I finish the conversation with the dad of Liam's friend? I asked him a question. I can't begin to give an explanation of everything that you've suffered, but could you just answer me right now? For somebody who has known Jesus and walked with Jesus, how close are you with Jesus right now? And he broke down and he said, I haven't been on speaking terms with Jesus for 6 months. Here's the answer. Hope is a person. And his name is Jesus. Because Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. And this hope is a living hope that allows us, even in our afflictions, to rejoice and to persevere and have endurance. And if we have endurance, it gives way to character. And character, when it's proven, gives way to a living hope. It's a cycle of hope. Yeah. Do you see that? It's a cycle of hope. To have hope gives hope. Yeah. A confident expectation that God will turn around even the worst of circumstances. Yeah, right. Yeah. As I endure with him. Having God with us gives us the possibility of hope. What else does having God with us give us? Gives us the possibility of peace. Can you say peace? Possibility of peace. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for a child will be born to us. Talking about Jesus again, a son will be given to us and the government will be on his shoulders and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. What does peace mean to you? I think in our modern day understanding, peace has come to mean compromise. That to have peace with somebody or to keep the peace often means that we're having dinner with family members around the Christmas season and we choose not to say what we really want to say because we don't want to upset the apple cart. And we think that that is peace. That's not peace, that's just wisdom. That's wisdom and being responsible to the circumstance that you find yourself in. Don't start a fight on Christmas Day. That is unwise. But it's not how the Bible determines peace. The way the Bible unpacks and explains peace is so much bigger than that because peace means prosperity, number one. It means wellness, number two. It means wholeness and health, number three. It means a cessation of hostilities. This word peace is such a big word that to limit it just to compromise loses the value of what it means to have God with us. The other night, I had the peace of my household tested significantly. My little boy Liam, 7 years old, had been having a rolling discussion with Rhiannon and I about his conduct to us as his parents. And he was engaged in a game of compromise because he's learnt and he says, well, if you do this, I'll throw my pillow out of the bed. You don't want to upset me. And the conversation kept on going on, and we finally got to a place of compromise, or I thought a place of compromise. And then I said to Liam, why don't you say goodnight to your mummy and go to bed? And instead of saying goodnight to his mummy, he walked off in a huff. Whoa, peace is not possible when hostilities are raging. And so with the peacemaker I am, I happened to calmly follow Liam into his room. And I got down on his level, and I realized that the next day he was looking forward to two things and two things only. Every Saturday morning he can play his Xbox, and that's the only day in the week he can play it. And we've learned that for discipline purposes, that is the best tool we have to keep peace in the home. But this day, there was a second thing that he was looking forward to, because there was going to be a kid's birthday party in the afternoon. Now, Liam had gone too far. Peace had been destroyed. So I got down on his level and I spoke with my peaceful voice and I said, son, you now have a choice to make. You can only do one, Xbox or the birthday party. You make the choice. Yeah, sounds good. Took him an hour to wrestle with the answer. Because I said to him, it's your choice. I'm not going to make it for you. I know which ones I think is better, meaning the party. But you make the choice, son. And he wrestled with that for an hour. Rhiannon and I could hear him talking to himself. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Until he finally made the decision, begrudgingly. See, my peace had dominated the situation. No compromise, son. He came out and he said to us, I choose the party. You want to know what I did? Good choice. You can play the Xbox as well tomorrow. Can I tell you what the Bible explains as peace? It's found in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 20. It says this, the God of peace. I got to say that again. The God of peace. The God, what is God, God of? The God of peace will soon crush. Doesn't say compromise. Doesn't say tolerate. Doesn't say put up with. Does not say accept, does not say turn a blind eye, does not say keep the peace, says crush who? Satan under whose feet? Your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God with you means that peace is available. And the way the Bible interprets peace is the complete domination of a circumstance. It's domination of a circumstance you have no purpose having peace in. So I've been told by doctors when we take our little girl Zoe in for a surgical procedure a few months ago, and leading up to the surgical procedure, they tell us they're going to peel back her face. And we're told that there's a 5% chance she'll lose feeling in her face, be like a stroke victim for the rest of her life. There's a next meeting, there's a 15% chance, there's a 20% chance. And then the day of the operation, the doctor tells us there's a 50% chance she comes out of this without any feeling permanently on that side of her face that we're doing the operation. Now, at that circumstance, we have no choice but to go through. And we walked around King's Park, and I tell you what, we were in a situation where I wanted to be anxious, but I couldn't get there. I wanted to be anxious because I felt like I had a reason to be anxious. But the truth is, through the whole circumstance and situation, we've asked that God would be with us. And with God being with us, he brings his peace. And his peace dominates, rules over, crushes circumstances and situations that should take us out of the running. The peace of God is available because God is with us. And one more thought I want to leave you with before we get ready to close, and I want to give an invitation to some people to encounter God for themselves. And having God with us gives hope a possibility. Having God with us gives peace a possibility. But having God with us gives salvation a possibility. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 to 6, For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. That's where it says in John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because God is with us, salvation is possible. Again, I think salvation is a word that we don't unpack enough or understand enough. Because as the Bible unpacks this word salvation, it doesn't just mean a one-time prayer that we say in church. It actually means to be delivered, to be set free, to be liberated for your entire life. With God with you. Deliverance from every circumstance that would seek to take you out. Freedom in every possible situation is available. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the way. What does that mean that Jesus is the way? It means that he is the only one who came down from heaven to earth to make a way where there didn't seem to be a way. He chose to become man so that we could encounter salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection for us. And as we head into this Christmas season, for me, I don't think about Christmas so much and the birth of Emmanuel. I think about what's heading towards Easter and the fact that the reason Jesus was born, God with us, Emmanuel on the earth, was for the sole purpose that at the right time, he could choose to suffer on our behalf. On our behalf, that he could spend a night, his last night on earth in a garden called Gethsemane, and he could sweat blood because he was so understanding and anxious of what was to come, that Jesus knew what he was going into, to be abandoned by his best friends, to take 39 lashes on his body with a cat of nine tails, a whip that was not designed to cut deep but to tear shreds with barbs and glass and metal, and then to be heaved with a cross on his shoulder and forced to carry his tool of execution. Why? Because he was God with us. And the purpose of God being with us was to provide a way of salvation, deliverance, freedom, a living hope with peace available. It says in Scripture that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down today, at the right hand of Father God in heaven. It's available for each and every one of us, not because it's Christmas, but because it's Emmanuel, God with you.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.